Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day. We just look forward to what you have in mind for us to learn from your word today through Pastor Tim. We just pray that you'll just bless us through this worship time as well. And we just want to glorify you and praise you for all you do in our lives. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
And let's stand and worship.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name. Upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place, and I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus saw me
As we get into my three this morning, I just want to read this verse that I came across this morning. It's found over in 1 John chapter 5, and it says, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. Who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We all know there's many people that are looking to conquer the world, to overcome their obstacles they face in life, and looking for that joy and peace that only Jesus can bring. And it's our job to introduce them to Jesus, to share Jesus. Sometimes we do that with our words, sometimes with our action. Most importantly, we take them to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We lift them up and pray each and every day. So at this moment, what I want you to do is to think about those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. And I want you to pray for them by name. But I don't want you just to do it today. I want you to do it each and every day of the week, because we know that prayer changes lives. And there's many people who've come into relationship with Jesus because of the power of prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we know that we have hurting people in our lives. We have people that are trying to figure this whole life out, or walking around on their own. Lord, I ask that you just open their hearts and their minds. Father, we lift them up by name to you this morning. Father, you know the three I have on my heart, and you know the people that everybody here has on their heart. Lord, we just hand them over to you, remembering that you're the one who does it all. In Jesus' name.
We have a reading from the 84th Psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. A single day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live in the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you.
You unravel me. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song.
Child of God, I am. I am.
child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Come on, sing with me.
And over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope within this kingdom. I speak Jesus. Over every enemy, Jesus, for my.
Just to be with you here.
life is an empty cup. Here's my heart, would you fill me up? Yeah, Father, just fill us up, Father. All we need is you in this life. No matter what is happening around us, you're all we need. We speak your name over all of our circumstances. Father, you are so good. So good. Fill this place now this morning. Amen and amen. You guys be seated.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everybody here this morning. I want to welcome everybody that's our guests that are here this morning. I also want to welcome those that are joining us online on the radio. We are thankful for each of you. But before we get going this morning, I just want to give you guys a heads up. After the message this morning, we're going to go straight into communion. And if you didn't get the little cups beforehand, and you would like to take communion with us this morning, and we have open communion, so if you're a believer in Jesus, if you've accepted him as your personal Savior, you're welcome to join us in that. And if you would like, just raise your hand, and somebody will come around and get you communion cups if you don't have one yet. Did we miss anybody? Good job. Normally, we at least have a couple that need them. If you decide to sneak over later, too, they're back there. But before we go into the message this morning, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Father, we come before you and we just cast all of our worries and fears to the side. Father, open up each one of our hearts that we may just come to you with open hearts and open minds to hear what you have for us to hear. Lord, give us peace, give us wisdom. Father, I ask that this morning it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to continue in our Life of Christ series where we've been at for quite a while. But we're going to pick up where we left off last week. So we're going to be over in John chapter 6 again for anybody who wants to follow along. And we're going to be in verses 52 through 59. And before we start breaking down this passage, I just want to read through the entirety of the verses. So let's start with verse 52 this morning and start reading through 59. And it says, "At that, the Jews argued among themselves, 'How could this man give us his flesh to eat?' So Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Because my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. It is not like the manna your ancestors ate, and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever.' He said these things while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum." You know, at first glance, you may be wondering, what is Jesus trying to say in all of this? What are we supposed to take out of a passage like this, a short little passage eat my flesh, drink my blood. But when we look at the context of the passage, and we look at everything that's been going on, there's actually quite a lot that Jesus is talking about. This morning, the title of the message is, You Are What You Eat. That's the joys of being a pastor. You can come up with the sermon titles. But it's this idea that we become what we take into our lives. And that's the point that Jesus was trying to make inside of this passage. It's something that we're called to take to heart. It's something that Jesus was trying to convey to the people around them, around him in Capernaum at that time. It's a message that he's trying to convey to us. You know, the crowd that Jesus was speaking to was not a small crowd. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how many were there, but it lets us know that there was many people there at this moment. Most likely, a lot of the crowd were the same people that had been following Jesus around, hearing him teach, hearing him preach. It's the crowd that would have seen Jesus heal the sick, where the lame walked and the deaf could hear and the blind were made to see. It's most likely people from the same crowd where Jesus fed the 5,000 people. These were the same people that had followed Jesus out to the countryside to hear him talk. These are the same people that followed him around the lake searching for Jesus. You know, a lot of these people started following Jesus because he began to feed them. Because he fed them, they started following him around, hoping that they could get more from Jesus. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to see the miracles that he would perform. They were hoping to be fed again. And they wanted to see what they could get from Jesus. You know, people often liked the idea of Jesus at that time. They liked this idea of who he was and what he could offer them. It's no different than today. There's many people who come seeking Jesus to see what they can get from him, trying to figure out what can they get from Jesus. The idea that for some of them is they like this idea of what he may do for them. This idea of having them give, it's this idea that they may receive peace from him. They have peace about their afterlife. They like this idea of a God that watches out for them. They like this idea of a God that hears their prayers. Many people today have this idea of God like a genie in a bottle that's there to grant their wishes. And they're looking for Jesus in all these different places. Nothing has changed. There's many people like that today, just as there was back then, that have an idea of who God is, this idea of who Jesus is. And they constantly look to God to see what they can get from him, instead of asking God what he wants from them. They look to God as someone to serve them, instead of asking the question, how can we serve you? You know, interesting fact, behind all of that, Jesus knew the motives and the heart of the people that were standing there with him. Jesus understood the hearts of the people as he was teaching them and the questions that they were asking him. Just as he knows our hearts and he knows the hearts of the people around us. But Jesus was stayed patient with them as he stays patient with us. And he begins to teach them this metaphor regarding bread, something that they desired, something that they needed daily in their lives. He was using things in the world to help explain who he is. He started teaching about this everlasting bread, bread that would not go bad, bread that would sustain them forever. And this idea of everlasting bread intrigued the people. It intrigued those that were around Jesus. It was something they desired. You know, everlasting bread would make their life so much easier. They no longer would have to worry about making their daily bread. They no longer would have to be concerned with where their food come from. It's almost like the idea for us would be, what if we had an everlasting bank account that you could swipe away 100 times over and you never had to worry about running out of money on it. Sounds like it would make our life a lot easier, doesn't it? Bread was a very important part of their daily lives. And if they could have an everlasting bread, everything would become easier. But you see, they didn't understand that Jesus wasn't talking about the physical bread inside of this moment. He was talking about spiritual bread. Jesus was talking about spiritual food for the soul in this conversation. You know, just as it's important for us to put good food into our bodies and not just junk food, it's important for us to fill our lives with good food for our soul, not just the junk food of life. Because what we put into our bodies is what we get out of it. Jesus began to explain that he was the one that provided that spiritual bread for all of us. He began to explain that everyone who chose him would receive this bread. But he also reminded us, not everyone will choose Jesus. Not everyone will look to him for that bread. That many people will choose to fill their life with the junk food of life instead of Jesus. Things that they believe will bring them happiness and joy. They will search the world up and down, and they will find it empty. They will always find that their choices cannot sustain them for eternity. They may sustain them for a moment when they choose the junk food of life. It may be that temporary fix, like last week we talked about the Snickers. But it will not sustain them forever. Only for a moment. And that's because people often want it their own way, right? They would rather have life their own way. It tells us in verse 36 from last week, if you don't throw that up there, it says, "But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe." What Jesus was talking about is there's many people who've experienced Jesus. There's many people who've seen the power of Jesus move, but they choose to still go a different direction. They choose to reject him. They choose to reject that everlasting bread. Isn't that, that wasn't just for back then, that's today as well. We know people who have rejected Jesus and chosen to go with things of this world. And we finished up last week in verse 51, and it said, "I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And when Jesus said all of this, when Jesus made that comment, many of the Jews around Jesus didn't know and understand what he was referring to. They didn't understand any of it, yet some did. It tells us that this morning in the first verse, verse 52, at that point, the Jews argued amongst themselves, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" See, so many of the people standing there had seen and witnessed all of these things that Jesus had done. They had seen him come through and provide for them over and over. Yet they were still thinking of the physical sense, not the spiritual, which Jesus was speaking of. So much so that they started to argue among themselves. And what I find interesting is the fact that they were arguing amongst themselves means some of them were starting to get it. But there was many who still did not. They heard Jesus speak about this idea of giving us his flesh to eat, and they couldn't wrap their heads around this idea. Their minds were still stuck on things of this world. They were still stuck on earthly interpretations of a spiritual reality, trying to understand how Jesus could give his flesh to eat. A similar situation happened all the way back in chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus begins to tell him that he must be born again. But that entire concept of being born again just blew Nicodemus' mind. Like, how does that work? Can I re-enter my mother's womb to be saved? That wouldn't be fun for anybody. But he went to the literal interpretation not understanding that Jesus was speaking of spiritual things inside of this moment. So Jesus took the time to explain about spiritual rebirth, that it was about casting off our old life and being made new again, and turning to Jesus and seeking after him. And here we see Jesus doing the same thing again, using an earthly reality to explain a spiritual reality. When Jesus says, "Eat my flesh," he's not talking about physical flesh, he's talking about spiritual food. And since the people were looking at him for food, he used that metaphor to explain the kind of food that he provides. Jesus took the situation that he found themselves in and used that as an example for them. You know, physical hunger is a very powerful motivator in our lives. It's one of the reasons that we get up and we go to work each and every day, isn't it? Right? We want to make sure that we've got food to put on the table. But you know the old saying, you are what you eat. You know, if you eat too much of the wrong food, if you don't fuel your body the way it needs, it becomes destructive. You eat too much sugar and sodium and all of those things that I really like, it is not good for you in the long run. Our quality of life and our health and even the length of our life often depends on the food that we put into our bodies. But here's the thing. We're not just physical beings. We're spiritual beings as well. We're both body and soul. And just as we have physical hunger, we have spiritual hunger. And let me tell you, spiritual hunger can be just as big of a driving force in our lives as our physical hunger can be. Just like we can take unhealthy things for the physical hunger, we can take unhealthy things for our spiritual hunger. And let me tell you, the world offers an all-you-can-eat buffet of unhealthy things for our spiritual hunger. The problem is, what the world offers us leads to destruction. There's no nutrition there for our soul. There's nothing good there for us from what the world offers. I want you to think about this for a second. Just think about this. The world tells us that we need, that for us to find joy, peace, and happiness, what does the world often tell us that we need? We need more money, right? If we have just a little bit more money, we will have all the joy in the world, right? We'll have peace and happiness. Everything's going to be great and wonderful. You know, if we just become famous, then everyone's going to love us and everything's going to be wonderful until you get canceled. But, you know, if we just have those things, it's all going to be wonderful. And that's what the world tells us that we need. The world tells us that we need a better job. Like, if the boss only promoted me, my life would be so much better. I would have so much joy, so much peace, and so much happiness. Right? You know, the world tells us that if we had the right relationships, then we can truly find joy. We see people breaking up entire families because they say they just weren't happy anymore. They just weren't joyful anymore. It irked me and I had to go find joy elsewhere. The world tells us that if we have the right car, the right house, the right motorcycle, that we can find joy. I'm glad you guys caught that last one. It tells all of these things and more, that if only we can achieve these things, we were going to find that joy, we're going to find that peace, we're going to find that happiness. And it lays it all out in front of us, doesn't it? And it sounds good. It sounds wonderful. But here's the thing, none of that stuff is lasting. None of that stuff actually touches the underlying issue that we're facing. I want you to think about this for a minute. When you die, what happens to your money? The government takes half of it, and if your family's lucky, they end up with 20%, you know? The job that you just had to have, that you worked so hard, that you believed was going to bring you joy, peace, and everything else, will replace you within a couple weeks. Or when you retire, the same thing's going to happen, right? None of that suddenly mattered anymore. That new relationship, let me tell you what's going to happen with that. You're going to go through that honeymoon phase that you were all excited for. This was everything I've been looking for. Within a year or two, you're in the exact same position, if not worse, that you were in that first relationship. Because you never address the underlying issue. You simply look for the world for that temporary fix, and it did none of it. That new house, that new car, that new motorcycle, all of that stuff, next year they're going to have a brand new model released with some upgraded features, and you're no longer going to be satisfied, and you got to go replace it again. Isn't that how it works? When we look to the world, we will never have everlasting joy, peace, happiness, none of those things, because the world can't provide what Jesus can. We search for these things, but it never happens. Because none of it addresses the underlying issue. One commentator put it this way. We know that the nature of man, in other words, a man apart from Christ, will chase after every imaginable pleasure, every imaginable philosophy that will bring some kind of temporary happiness and make sense to him. And he will even unwittingly erect idols in his heart that will occupy his thoughts, that will reign over his affections, that will demand his loyalty, but none of these things ever bring lasting happiness. Nothing brings permanent satisfaction. As proof of that, man constantly struggles with things like anger, addiction, anxiety, self-pity, discontentment, despair, and the list goes on and on and on. And the proof of all of that is, just look at our culture. Look at the world around us. We have everything imaginable at our fingertips. Did you know if you want groceries, you can have it delivered to your door? Did you know if you want that new dress or if you want that new suit or anything like that, you can have it shipped right to your front door? Did you know that you can have a new car shipped to your front door? They will drop it off for you and take your old one away. You can do all of that. Did you know if you want a date, they have an app for that? Here's the thing. There's never been a time in history that we've had so much available to each one of us. That no matter what your heart may think it desires, you can find it. There's never been a time in history where you could just have everything at your fingertips. The math. You can't pay for it today? No problem. We'll finance it for you, right? They will finance anything and everything. You can finance your groceries. Think about it. Everything is available right here to us. Yet at the same time, if we look over the last 100 years, there has never been a time in history with so much anxiety, self-pity. There's never been a time with so much addiction and more in our culture, has there? Everything the world says that you need to be happy is available at your fingertips, but yet there's never been more people unhappy. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we find ourselves in that moment? There's never been this time of history with so many unsatisfied people in their lives. People search high and low for anything that they believe will bring them joy. And yet they fall straight on their face. It is all but for a fleeting moment. Because nothing but Jesus will ever fill that void truly. No matter how hard you try. We look at some of our celebrities. I'm going to use Robin Williams for an example. That was such a sad day. He took his own life. He had money, fame, he had everything that he could ever purchase in his life. And he's not nearly the only celebrity that did that, did he? There's so many people that we find in those moments. You know, Jesus tells us in verse 53, so Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. You know, another way we can look at this, unless you believe in Jesus and accept that free gift of salvation that he gave us through the cross, you will never truly live. You will never truly have peace, joy, or happiness. What Jesus is talking about is that if we don't fill our lives with him, we have no real life. You know, you are what you eat. You are what you put into your life. And if we put the things of this world into our lives, we become like the world. But if we put Jesus into our lives, we can count on the fact that we will always be satisfied. We will always find peace, joy, and happiness in our lives. We will always find purpose for our lives when we go to Jesus. And we can count on the fact that we will find purpose in our life. Did you know the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." You see, we were created in the image of God. We were created with a purpose and a plan for our life. That's each and every one of us. We were created in the image of our Creator because he loved us. And he did it with a purpose for each one of our lives. But when we search the world for our joy, peace, and happiness, when we search the world for our purpose in life, we're going to fall flat because that isn't what God has intended for us. Instead, when we look to Jesus and we allow him to transform us inside of those moments, we find the purpose for our life. We get to live out and experience a new reality that we may have never had before when we turn to him, because we were made in his image. And it isn't until we go after him that we get to learn what that plan is that he has for us. Because Jesus is the one that feeds our soul. Jesus is the one that transforms us. It continues in verse 54 to 55. And it says, "The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." Some people think that Jesus is talking about communion in this passage. He's not. When Jesus talks about the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he's talking about those of us who find ourselves spiritually hungry and we turn to Jesus. That's what he's talking about. We can have assurance of our salvation. He's talking about that we can have assurance of our peace, joy, and satisfaction in life when we turn our lives to him. And we can have assurance that he will raise us up on the last days and we will get to see Jesus face to face and spend eternity with him. That we don't have to question where we go at the end. We don't have to question what happens after, because Jesus has already made the way and he gives us assurance of that. Because he is the true spiritual food that we need for our soul. And here's the thing. Jesus isn't talking about just doing this one time in your life. He's not talking about just coming up and saying a prayer. He's talking about giving our entire life to him at all times and looking to him every time, you know, whenever we're hungry. He says in 56 and 57, "The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Jesus is emphasizing inside of this moment that we remain in him after we first believed. That it isn't just about a one-time saying a prayer and continuing to search the world for all the other stuff. He's talking about allowing him to come in and transform your life and walk with you each and every day. I think that's one of the things we miss so often, is that we're actually called to feed on Christ daily. That we're actually called to be in his word, to spend time with him in prayer. That it isn't just about saying a prayer and then living like the rest of the world does, but it's about actually giving our lives fully to him, understanding that we are transformed and made new in his image when we turn to Jesus. That we don't continue our old ways of living anymore. You know, so often I see people, they come to me and they're like, "You know, I came and I accepted Jesus, but nothing has changed. I still have all of this trouble. I still have everything else." I'm like, "Have you spent time with him? What do you mean? Have you prayed? Have you read his word? Have you been around other believers for encouragement? Have you seeked out his will for your life?" "Well, no, I went back and I did the same thing I've always done." "So you saw the light and went back to the darkness." Jesus is talking about that we are called to seek after him each and every day, that it is a transformation process. If you want a different life, seek Jesus. And not once, but each and every day. Make a decision in the mornings when you wake up to go after him that day. And if you mess up, we all still sin. Don't get me wrong. Okay? Say, Lord, I'm sorry. And turn back to him. He's still there. He just said he's going to remain in us in those moments. But continue to turn back around. You want to see your life transformed, you need to seek him every day. Each and every one. Because Jesus paid much too high a price when he went to that cross for us to only choose him when it's convenient for us. Remembering that once we come to Christ, we are no longer the same. The old things have passed away, and the new has come. Jesus closes out this passage in John chapter 6, 58 to 59. And it says, this is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna our ancestors ate. They died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. Jesus is reiterating the fact that he is the true bread from heaven, that he is the one that can give us eternal life for those of us who choose him. For those of us who have chosen to accept that free gift of salvation that he's already paid up on that cross for us. And that we allow Jesus to be the one that feeds our soul. I want you to think about that this week. As you go out, are you going to choose Jesus each and every day, or are you going to choose the world? What direction are you going for in your life? And let me tell you, if you haven't made that choice yet, he's still waiting right there for you. It's never too late to turn our lives over to him. This morning, we're going to prepare to close out with communion. We practice believers' communion here. So if you're saved and you've accepted that free gift of salvation that Jesus offered on the cross, if you've tasted and seen the goodness of God, you are welcome to join us this morning in communion. When it comes to the children here, parents, you know where your children are. You know where they are in their walk with God. They're welcome to join us at communion this morning at your discretion. If you need communion cups, we'll try one more time. Does anybody need a communion cup? Nope? Okay. We're still good? All right. As we prepare to take communion today, I want to read 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 29. And it says then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Communion is not something that is to be taken lightly. So I want us to take a moment to pray privately, to search our own hearts and minds, and if there's anything that we're keeping back from God, that we present it to him before we take communion together. This is an honor and a privilege that we have as believers. And we're not to take it lightly. So at this time, let's go for a moment of silent prayer. As we come together as a body of believers to do this in remembrance of what your son did on that cross, may we not take this for granted. May we open our hearts and minds, and may we see you in all of this. Lord, wash us clean. Make us new. Father, if there's anything that we're holding back, may we just turn it over to you. I think thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those who are new to these, we start with the bread, and it peels right off. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus was there with his disciples, and they were dining. And Jesus took the bread, and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may eat. In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. You may drink." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. May we never take that gift that your son paid for on that cross for granted. Lord, may you work anew in each one of us. May you renew our hearts and our minds this morning. May we start turning to you instead of the world in all that we do. May we find our joy, peace, happiness, and even purpose for our lives in you. Lord, we thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand. Yeah.
Could hear what I hear when I'm standing up front here with the congregation singing out. How great is he? As you go out this week, may you seek Jesus in all that you do. May you make that a daily thing and not a one-time thing, remembering that Jesus has already made a way. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and we simply need to seek him. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.